You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Illegal Pete's is back, and we are so pumped to have them on board again. As you guys know, the pandemic shut down lots of restaurants, and Illegal Pete's was one of them. They've been back in action for a while now, and we couldn't be happier to promote them. They have a bunch of awesome new stuff going on, including their Soundcheck promotion, which is an ongoing promotion at all locations that offers a free draft beer or house marg with purchase of an adult entree when the guest shows a same-day ticket to any event. So jump on that if you're starting to go out, do things again, Illegal Pete's can hook you up. They also launched their party margs during the pandemic, which are 32-ounce house margaritas, 4 times larger than their normal one. You can get stuff during happy hour at all locations from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. $1 off all drafts, $1 off house and coin style margs, $20 party margs, $1 off large chips and queso as well. Just a bunch of awesome deals right now. Also, apparently their queso is really great and people love knowing that. So now you know. Head on over to Illegal Pete's and get yourself some awesome food today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli. And I guess it's time. We kind of mentioned it on yesterday's show. We're going to be diving in specifically to Gabe Landeskog's potential contract and what the Avs may have to do to keep Gabe Landeskog on the team going forward. Let me just start by giving y'all his stat line from last year, just so we know roughly what we're working with here. He had 20 goals and 32 assists for 52 points in 54 games. That number is a lot closer to his 2018-19 totals, where he was a point-per-game player in 73 games, as opposed to his And look, Landy throughout his career has been roughly around a 60-point player. So just the statistical range you're working with as a guy who is also the captain of the Colorado Avalanche. Look, there's a million different factors that come into play, particularly with contracts getting done over the next couple of years. But you look at the Avalanche's roster and what they need to do, who they need to sign, and the two big free agents, Gabe Landeskog, Philip Grubauer, and then to a lesser extent, Brandon Saad. So what they end up doing with all three of those people is going to affect each other pretty significantly. But Landy, obviously being the most tenured of the three. AJ, let's start with this. Where do you expect the number to come in? What do you think it's going to take to get Landy signed?
I mean, that's the whole point of the show, right?
Yeah, so we're putting you on the spot right away.
I mean, we've been talking about the $7 million mark for
5 months now, it feels like. Yeah.
Longer than that. I mean, it feels like it's been pretty much the day Anders Lee signed his deal.
Yep.
I was like, that's the Landeskog benchmark now.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was doing prep for today's show, as I was getting into all the numbers and digging into where Landeskog sits around the league in terms of production, rate of production, even strength, all that stuff, it all kind of kept coming back to the same thing. And then we start to get into the contracts,
comparables,
you
know, and such.
You look in recent deals that have been signed, and it's like, look, this guy, he's got every argument in the world for $7 million. The big question is, how much of an impact does the stagnant cap have? Because all of these contracts get signed, all these long-term deals get signed with the understanding that everybody is expecting the salary cap to slowly go up through the life of the deal.
Right.
You know, there might have been a year where it doesn't go up very much or it stagnates, but overall, contracts get signed under the assumption that in 7 years,
that will be a lesser percentage of a team's cap hit than it is at the start. Yeah,
exactly. That then it becomes it becomes a much harder conversation when that's not the case,
right?
Because we saw and like, look, last year's UFA probably will not be representative of this year's. Teams will actually have some money.
Yep.
Because they will have had a year to have planned for flat cap. So they didn't go out and get themselves in much trouble last year. They have known this was coming. Whereas last year it was a surprise. Everybody thought that last year was supposed to be a big boon. You know, before the pandemic started, there were projections that the cap could go up as much as $7 million.
Yeah.
And for then it to have gone nowhere, and now it will stay at 81.5. That'll be the number. That's a huge complicating factor, because you look at last year's class. Tyler Toffoli gets 4 years and what, 4.25?
Yep.
From the Canadiens, Mike Hoffman technically signed a PTO, but that was only for St. Louis to play tricky cap games because they needed to put
injury reserve stuff, yeah.
And I think he got 4.5 from St. Louis. So, and you're talking like Mike Hoffman's been a 20 or 30 goal guy for the last decade. You know, the last 6-7 years that he's been nails when it comes to just being able to put pucks in the net. Now, Mike Hoffman's tough because he's a one-dimensional player who is a truly awful defensive player. But It was at least interesting because we thought going into the offseason, these are guys. These are guys that are going to get paid big money. Mike Hoffman got a 1-year deal. Tyler Toffoli got 4 years at a number that nobody thought he was going to get. You know, I mean, you look at it. Tyler Toffoli made just a couple hundred grand more than Jonas Donskoy. So we're talking major effect. And, you know, with the operating assumption that the cap isn't going anywhere for the next few years, for up to as many as 5, depending on who you talk to and certain projections and all that. Since we're starting our offseason right now, we're going to start our conversations under the assumption that the cap is flat for 5 years.
4 or 5 is the number we keep hearing.
So. Yeah. So we'll just say 5. And all pods moving forward, all conversations moving forward, we'll be
under that assumption. Yeah.
Operate under that assumption that it will be 5 years. And then if it's less, then great. But for 5 years, just to make it an easy, we're on the same page about all of this.
Yep. So I saw someone ask about it in chat. Look, the number we have heard, thought about, talked about is 7 million. Mm-hmm. Alan asks, does your number crunching take into account his previous comments about taking a deal for less to keep the group together?
No, of course not.
Yep. There's certainly a...
players say stuff all the time. It's totally irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
the only way that we will know if that's a thing is if he does it. Him saying... A player saying they would be willing to take less. Cool.
I mean, Taylor Hall said he wanted to win and then went to Buffalo, right?
I mean, this is the same fan base that watched Paul Stastny say he would take a hometown discount and then left.
I mean, he went home, not for a discount, but...
So, like, we just went through this.
Yeah.
You don't ever listen to what players say publicly about that stuff. Because when push comes to shove, the money is the thing that talks, not what a player says.
I mean, obviously.
Nathan McKinnon did not do it on his last contract. That's not true.
Nathan McKinnon got less on his last contract because he hadn't broken out yet, basically. Yeah.
Nathan McKinnon signed there were a wave of deals that got signed all in a little clump together. And it was like Mark Scheifele, Johnny Gaudreau, Nathan McKinnon, all those guys signed for Sean Monahan. All those guys signed right in the neighborhood of $6 million per.
Yep.
And every single one of those players has greatly outperformed those contracts.
Yeah, by like a lot.
Yeah. So. All of them. The market was just in the perfect spot for those guys to all get long-term deals.
And none of them had performed at anywhere near the point per game pace that they were capable of.
Yeah.
Like almost immediately after they signed.
Almost all of those players had bigger breakouts right after.
Yeah.
McKinnon's was obviously like the big breakout doing this. I was looking through the salaries of everyone in the NHL, and right now Nathan McKinnon is the 61st. Highest paid forward. So
a bit silly to say the least.
Yeah. Well, and this is why we talk about the Avs need to win a Stanley Cup on this contract. Because after McKinnon signs a new one, it's going to get significantly harder.
All right. But so
Landeskog.
Yes.
You don't take in that into account, but you do take in, when we're talking about his value, it goes beyond just the numbers, as it did with Anders Lee, because Anders Lee was not a $7 million player, but he was insanely important to the organization. and they couldn't watch another captain leave in UFA.
Yep.
They had to do what they had to do to keep that guy.
The so, Evs, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because the Evs have never really had trouble keeping their captains around. Obviously, they had the couple years between Sakic and Landeskog there, but beyond that, this has been a two-captain franchise for the most part. The couple years of Foot and Hayduk and just bringing the rolling out the greatest hits a little bit, but but it's clearly something that this organization values and has valued from the beginning is keeping a steady captain. So,
well, and Landeskog is one of those rare guys that, I mean, you remember when he got drafted? Yep. And it was like one of the first things talked about is this guy will be a captain.
Captain someday. Material, yeah, right off the bat.
And it was one thing for his NHL club, a not very good NHL club, to give him the C right away. Mm-hmm. It was another for Team Sweden to do it.
Yeah, on an international stage is kind of a big deal, certainly for someone that young.
And for, like, that's a hockey powerhouse. That wasn't like, you know, that wasn't like what we used to, like, what Finland used to be, where, like, there were a handful of great players, but it was a pretty shallow depth and not very many guys to pick from. Like, that was, like, Team Sweden is for real.
You're not talking about, like, Latvia sneaking in and picking their one NHLer to.
Yeah. Like, For him to have gotten that C, I mean, that was just, it's been interesting to hear him talk about how in recently he's talked about he maybe got it a year too early, a little sooner than he maybe should have gotten it.
Yeah.
But he's got it figured out now, you know, he's comfortable in the role now, but, you know, and as a 19-year-old, it's like, this is certainly a thing. But I think that the leadership, the face of the franchise, the C on his chest, I think it's important. Yep. You know, it certainly is going to play a big role wherever he goes. If he say he leaves Colorado,
how does he not immediately become a part of the captaincy conversation anywhere? Yeah,
right. Like, it would have to be because there's an old guard guy there. You know, the teams that immediately jump out are California teams.
Yeah,
you know, where, like, obviously Kopi, Brown, Doughty, those guys are
at the end of their career. Yeah,
you know, if Getzlaf stays in Anaheim, you know, that's, it would be hard to supplant him as the C. But an interesting conversation where I think you could definitely look at it and say, well, wherever he goes, you know, he'll be part of a leadership group. Why would you want to let him, you know, why would you want to let him leave? Now, obviously, they don't want to let him leave. They're not like, oh, hey. But I think as we get into the money aspect of this,
it might get a little bit easier to go down that road. Yeah.
Well, it might be something. It might be a conversation, just because I do want to get into, like, the money details and contract comparables and where do they go.
Yes, and we will get into that, but we do need to take our first period break first, as we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get it on tap down at the Breckenridge Breckenridge Farmhouse, but also at the DNVR Bar. Both amazing places to grab a drink. You can also find their hard seltzers at a local liquor store near you. So check those out as well. Also brought to you by Solace Meds. That's SolaceMeds.com. You get 20% off when you use code DNVR20 there. Schedule your pickup order for any of the four locations in Colorado. Get what you need and also check out them in store as well. There's one just a couple blocks away from the DNVR bar. You can get anywhere from 10 to 25% off on select products in store as well. There you go. You can see the locations down below on the YouTube. They make awesome stuff. They usually have special deals for holidays and things as well. So check out Solace Meds when you can. And sign up for a DNVR membership. You get the annual membership. You get yourself a free shirt, a free mask, all sorts of cool stuff, including our content, discounts, better beers, you name it. It's dope. DNVR is awesome. Support us because I think we're pretty cool. Not to toot our own horn too much, but all right. Yeah, you get the free holistic stick as well. I think we're still doing that offer, so jump on that. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook with Rudo and AJ coming at you. A couple things as we dive into these numbers, we dive into potential comparables. First of all, of the Avs' major free agents, would you rank Landeskog number one as most likely to be back? Or number two, or number three? Because realistically, it's not going to be any lower than that.
Are we counting RFAs?
No, UFAs only.
Okay, then one.
Makar would be one if we were counting RFAs. Yeah, but yeah,
exactly. That's why I was asking. Then yeah. Landeskog is one.
Okay, cool. That's where I would put him as well.
It should be understood that we are operating from a position of this dude's not leaving.
Yeah.
But we want to have an honest conversation about the landscape, what it looks like, all of these things.
Any chance I get to nerd out about Sam Reinhardt, I'm going to do it.
So, yes. I just do want to make it clear. Personally, we don't think he's going anywhere.
No, do not. I don't expect anything but Gabe to be captain for life in Colorado if he wants to be here, basically.
Yeah.
Same. So, with that ground being set, looking at some of these comparables, I mean, there are two that really catch my eye right at the $7 million mark. Those being Max Pacioretty and Evander Kane. Obviously, we talked about Anders Lee as well. The reason I pick Pacioretty and Kane is Pacioretty got a four-year deal in 2019-20. A little bit older than Landeskog, so maybe that's a smidge on the short side.
This is where...
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Kane, his contract was a couple of years ago, but he got the big seven-year deal. I mean, obviously ignore what's going on with Kane off the ice and the bankruptcy stuff, but...
Totally irrelevant to this conversation.
Right, exactly. So, the Kane deal would be signed when he was 27, which is... 1 year younger than Gabe, or a year and a half younger than Gabe, I guess.
Kane's deal was signed when he was 26.
He was that young, right? So a couple of years younger than Gabe at that point, then.
Yep, that's why I thought it was interesting. You picked the two that are on the either side of him, and ignored the Anders Lee, who's right on the nose.
Well, I mean, that's my point. Is you look at these two, and you kind of probably come somewhere in the middle to that Anders Lee deal, but. I wanted to give some context because we've talked about the Anders Lee deal quite a bit as a good comparable for Landy.
Yep.
So those are kind of the contracts that I'm using to fall in between. You could talk about someone like a Matt Tkachuk as well in that range.
I was going to say the other ones that you could keep in mind are Chris Kreider and James Van Riemsdyk. Because those were also UFA deals signed at age 28,
29. Yep.
And JVR's is interesting because his is a five-year deal versus a seven-year deal. And I think that's something you and I would have a much larger interest in.
Yeah. I mean, a five-year deal takes Landy. He'll be 29 a month into this coming season.
Yeah. This is his age 29 season coming up.
So he'd essentially be 33, 34 at the end of a five-year deal. And... I mean, look, Gabe Landeskog is not like he doesn't play like Matt Calvert, but there's certainly a level of physicality and going to the dirty areas that is required from Gabe's game.
Yeah, and that's a big reason why he's been as effective as he's been on that line.
Yep.
Is because you have two really high skill guys and then you kind of have your classic grinder, right? Like a guy that will go in.
Do all the dirty work, yep.
Yeah, and he'll do a lot of the hard defensive work, and he brings an element of two-way play that the other two guys have not so far in their careers, although I will say both have gotten better in that regard. They still have a long way to go as positive defensive players.
You're talking about Nathan MacKinnon as passable defensively now in his career. And Rantanen, you're talking about, well, at least he's not a total anchor in the defensive zone. So obviously it's in the specific case of the three-headed monster, especially Landy's defensive ability matters quite a bit. Yeah. You also see he is essentially the face-off man if those three are going to be together, certainly at least on the one side. So there are some other aspects to that specifically where I don't want to drift too much into this conversation, but do you kind of consider Landeskog at least a contract value as a center because of those things? Things like that?
No.
Okay. I agree, but the conversation of play Landy at center was one that came up more than a few times this year.
Well, and there were a couple of those zombie lineups where it was like they've got to do something, and that was the solution was,
and it worked pretty decently, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's just a conversation that's out there. Yeah, certainly going over 5 years, I think, does start to get scary.
Yeah. I mean, if they go a 7-year deal, he's 36 when it's done.
Yep. And look, if Landeskog does want to be in Colorado for his career, it's super easy to say, all right, here's your $7 million for 5 years, and we'll just do 1 or 2 year deals until the cows come home if you want to stick around, you know? Just keep offering him the next contract as long as he wants to be here. But
yeah. So two other, so I want to also bring up TJ Oshie's contract.
Sure.
Because I also thought that's an interesting one because he signed it at age 30. He took an 8-year deal. Now, because he got the 8 years, the AAV is a little bit lower.
Yep.
And he's at 5'7", 5",
which, boy, would that be a steal if you can get Landy for that.
Okay. Well, that won't happen.
But obviously.
Honest question here. If they could agree to, say, an eight-year deal. And yep. In exchange, that takes him through that age 36 season and expires when he's 37, essentially.
Yep.
If he takes that deal, the trade-off has to be a lower number.
Yeah. I mean,
it has to be. And the question is how much per year do you give up?
Personally, I'd be looking at maybe like 6.25.
Because if it's six, if it's 6.5, that extra 500K is not worth it.
I agree. For me.
But if it's,
if you start getting to 6 flat, you're saving a million a year.
Say 6.25.
Sure.
Because while we're talking about $7 million is kind of the benchmark here. He is out. It is important to note every single one of these contract comparables that we're talking about, he has more career points than.
Yep. If this was not a flat cap era, the year that he had, we're probably talking about him closer to the $8 million range, honestly. Certainly 7.5, I would say.
I think we're in the $7.5 million range anyway.
Already, sure.
And I think that if it were not a flat cap, we would be looking at 8.5.
Yeah, somewhere.
Because I know there will be some sticker shock when I talk about that, but like, keep in mind that if we were not in a flat cap,
the cap would be $90 million right now.
The cap would have taken a big jump last year, and it would be getting ready to take a massive jump this year.
Yep.
Because of expansion, and then another massive jump next year because of TV deals. So, you know, I think without that, it would be it would be a much higher number. So this I think where we're talking, so if we use the TJ Oshie thing, now he's a couple years younger. Well, he's right now he's 28, but he's just, for all intents and purposes, he's 29 because he will turn 29 as the season starts, basically.
Yep.
Which is why when I said 7 years, it was like,
yeah,
I said 36 because it expires when he's 35, but his next contract begins in his
Landy's birthday is in a similar time frame, for the record. Yeah.
So just that's just what I mean when I say that. With Landy, an 8 year deal, if it would have to be 625 or lower.
Yeah, that
I'd
be shocked if he took less than 6.25, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he takes an 8 year deal at $6 million,
you're talking.
Sorry, you sign it today.
Sure. Yeah, just get the courier to sprint that thing to the NHL offices because
now, you sign that today. But if they go 8, there's got to be some give from the player on AAV.
Yep,
because there's a good chance somewhere in those 30s he stops being worth that money.
An interesting conversation on this. I see chat talking about, do you think many guys will want to extend past 2026? That is when the current CBA is up. The thing about 2026 is I don't know so much about the CBA, but you're talking about a lot of players that are going to want to sign that next contract as the cap starts to increase again.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting situation with Landy specifically because realistically, when the cap starts to go up, Landy is going to be entering, if not already into, the twilight of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So Landy may never get the chance to really sign that big deal. Now, there is a conversation that I'm guessing we're going to mostly brush off. But if you're Landeskog, do you take a 2 or 3 year deal here to try and get closer to that cap increasing and try and get another big contract?
Yeah, so this is why I brought up the Oshie deals, because that's one extreme. The Pacioretty deal is the extreme on the other side.
Right.
Extreme. Like, it's still a four-year deal.
Right? Relative term, yeah.
Yeah, so because I think you know, we're about to see some guys in their 30s make decent money this year. We talked about Alec Martinez on yesterday's show. Now, obviously, he's a defenseman. Their value tends to hold up a little better than wings. but I will say, if he wanted to dig, say, the four-year deal, with the idea in mind that he has two good paydays left, because he will finish out, right now he's at the tail end of his aging curve, his athletic prime. But if he takes a four-year deal, say 3 years, he has three more years of, let's say 25 goals and 35 assists.
Yep.
Okay. A pretty generous, like, just natural assumption. He could easily outperform those numbers. He can underperform. I don't know. But that's how it works, man. The longer the term, the AAV goes down. That's how this works.
Right. If the AAV isn't going down on longer term, what reason would the team have for signing him longer?
Yeah. For a guy getting into his 30s. If, like, when we have the Cale Makar conversation maybe tomorrow, it's a totally different approach.
That's because you're buying UFA years of his prime at that point.
Well, you're buying his 20s the conversation.
Exactly.
That's not the conversation that you're having with Gabe Landeskog. He has to give a little bit of money back for those extra years of security, because otherwise the team says, we're going to give you 5 years. We'll give you that $7 million. But then in years 6, 7, and 8, which he would have had at, say 6-2-5, he's actually making $3 million per year on those. So he has to give AAV. That's literally how this process works.
Yep. Yeah.
There's a handful of conversations that I will continue to get into, but let's get to this super chat really quick. Thank you very much, Nick. AJ, would you do Kadri a third and seventh for Sam Reinhart? I would certainly do that, but Buffalo wouldn't.
Yes.
Add the first rounder in there too, and maybe you're talking. But
well, and I don't know what. I mean, if I'm Buffalo, no.
Right. That's an easy no. If it's
because Colorado picks 28th in the draft.
Yep.
So Kadri, the 28th pick, a third and a seventh for Sam Reinhart. No.
I mean, it starts with the first, and then they're probably telling you, all right, replace Kadri with Newhook.
Well, and like Kadri, look, Colorado would have to do somebody like Kadri
to make the money work, sure, but
to good for, you know, yes, for money purposes. That's a fine start, but you're talking about, I think he's 31 now, 31-year-old Nazem Kadri with right. 1 year left on his deal. Like,
Buffalo is blowing it up. If they're moving Reinhart,
they probably use Kadri to flip him on his own in a separate deal.
I mean, you're right. Like I said, you get the first there. The first was also supposed to be there. Okay.
Even with the first, it's not. They need an impact player for their roster.
Targeting probably like a Timmons.
If it's Timmons, I'm doing it.
I know, but me too, but
from their perspective, it would have to be Newhook. It would have to be Byram.
I think Newhook would be the ask, probably, assuming, you know, Eichel's probably on the way out too if they're moving Reinhart. But
what about Barron?
Boy, that I'd do that for sure.
So you would do Kadri a first, Barron third, and a seventh for Reinhart.
The third and a seventh or whatever, right? Sure. I mean. Yeah, I would do Kadri a first and Barron plus a couple more picks. Yes, I would do that for Reinhart.
Okay, I would agree. I'm not doing Gerard straight up. No,
nope.
I'm keeping Sam Gerard.
Gerard's not getting traded. This has to stop.
We did this conversation yesterday.
Yep.
You put support around Sam Gerard. You don't move Sam Gerard.
Yep.
Because if you move Sam Gerard, especially in a one-for-one deal for a forward, then you have to replace Sam Gerard. Great. You have Bowen Byram. You put him in that spot, you're in the same exact position where now you need to add support for Bowen Byram, whereas you had support for Sam Gerard in Bowen Byram, in Connor Timmins. You trade away Sam Gerard, and now you're in the exact same position.
And especially if you're keeping Landeskog. Look, don't get me wrong. I love Sam Reinhart, but keeping Landeskog makes him less important to your forward core. Sam Reinhart, that is. So,
yeah.
Reinhart is a hypothetical, in my opinion, great replacement for Landeskog as far as what you get out of them on the ice.
I wanted to get into that later.
Which we can save. That's fine.
But in the apocalyptic scenario, if he moves on, where does he go? What do the Avs do? But for right now, I want to go back to what we were talking about with the shorter contract.
Yep.
Taking a Pacioretty-esque deal, because if you go 4 years, then the AAV is higher. It's probably $7.5 million.
Yeah.
Probably $7.5 million, somewhere in that range. But at the end of that 4 years,
you have a 32-year-old Landeskog and you see what he's produced.
Do you want to? Do you want, you know, depending on how he plays, do you just give him another 4-year deal? Or do you do a shorter deal at less AAV, at a lower AAV, because he's not as good a player anymore? There's some certainty with the 4-year deal, because then you get to hedge the 30-year-old bet a little bit.
Sure, you split it up.
Because if that decline, look, if that decline happens 2 years into the contract, then you're thrilled you did the 4-year deal, because then you don't have to sit there and eat years and years and years of decline.
Thank you for the fist bumping pair, Nick. Very appreciated. Right. The splitting up the deal is a fail safe for not a steady decline into the 30s, but a dude falling off a cliff, right?
Yeah.
So you're not just essentially running dead money.
Yeah.
With
what look, which we see happen all the time in the NHL.
And like that's the threat of the 8-year deal. That's what scares you.
Yep.
Is that years 5, 6, 7, and 8, you're paying 6.5, 6.25 for a guy that is now a $2 or $3 million player.
Yep. You're not even in the ballpark at that point.
It's kind of like the EJ thing, but to an extreme.
Yeah, EJ wasn't that far off the cliff, but he was certainly not worth his deal.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the funny thing about the EJ conversation is, like, if they had cut EJ loose, had he been a free agent the last couple of years, he would have easily gotten $4 million from somebody.
Yep.
So it wouldn't have been, like, a huge, like, It was just, is he overpaid? Yes. Is it by a lot? Not really. The problem is he gets hurt, and a hurt player isn't worth a anything. They provide you no value when they can't play. Which PS, another thing about Landeskog that we haven't talked about, but durability in his career.
He is seasons of 80 games. Yeah.
Three seasons with 80 plus, two seasons of 82.
Yep.
But he also has 75, 72, 78, 73, and this year played 54, 56. So his sophomore year, where he only played 36 games, and I think that was the lockout shortened year anyway, so there were only 48 games to be played.
I mean, you can realistically expect him to miss about 10 games a year.
Yeah, and then last year when he played 54 of 72, that was his most injured season.
Yep.
When he played 54 of 72. Otherwise, his durability has been fine.
Yeah.
Postseason, 45 points in 49 playoff games in his career. Is he a superstar? No.
But he's that's been, first line level production. Yeah.
He's shown up. He's been solid. Yes. It was concussion his second year.
Yep.
Brad Stewart ran into him with an elbow at the blue line.
Yep. Thankfully, Landy really doesn't have any history of concussions beyond that one. But
yeah, did change him a little bit, and he was not the same player as he was his rookie year.
Lost a touch of aggression there on the physical side for sure. But
yep, so the durability I think is another important factor in the Landeskog conversation. He continues to be healthy.
Yep,
you know, you never know how a body is going to age, especially as he gets into his 30s and a guy who does have a physical element to his game. You never know. But at least at this point, you're not looking at it and going, this guy's missed a lot of games.
Well, and I know we've talked about this before too, but what pays in the NHL? Goals. And the automatic 20-goal guy. Automatic. So
10 seasons in the NHL, 8 of them have been 20-goal seasons. The 2 that weren't, the concussion-related second year, where he only scored 9 goals. 2016-17, when the Avs were the unluckiest offensive team ever, and he had 18 goals.
Yep.
That's it. Otherwise, 8 of 10 seasons, 20-goal guy. 1 year at 30. So you're not really talking yourself into him being a 30-goal guy. He has 1 year with 34 goals, and then after that, his highest is 26. Although, his last 2 years, 21 and 20 in 54 games, which are high 20 goal paces.
Yes. Not quite 30, but certainly you start talking about him as a 25 type of guy at that point. But
yeah. That's why I said assume 25, 35 for his stat line moving forward as like a baseline.
Yep.
Because he might be, you know, goals are a little random. He could finish at 21. He could finish at 26. You just don't know. Sure. But the assists he's pretty consistent with. He's hit 30 assists 7 times.
Yeah. He's, I think a lot of people underrate his passing ability because he doesn't ever really do anything fancy. He just makes the simple, smart, effective pass, and it gets him a lot of points.
Yeah, and you see, like, I would also point out all 3 of Colorado's top line guys are consistently putting up good power play numbers.
Yeah, sure. The PP production helps, no doubt.
25 and 35 is 60 points. So that's really going back to an 82 game schedule, 60 points is the expectation. He had 52 points this season in 54 games. So the last 4 years, he has been either 60 points or higher or on a pace of. So I would say 60 points is where you would want to draw his baseline.
All right. Well, if nothing else, the Avs have to keep Gabe Landeskog around if they want to continue Operation Mail Model.
So there's this theory that I've been introduced to.
Oh boy, here we go.
And it's kind of broken my brain a little bit. That dudes, that men, if you ask male Avalanche fans who is the most attractive Avs player, the majority of dudes will say Landeskog. Mm-hmm. If you ask women this, the answers are a lot more varied.
Sure. Not surprised by that.
I was surprised by it because I'm just like, look, Landy's an Adonis.
I'm with you, all right? 100%. But
and it was like oh, dudes want to be Landy. And women are just like, yeah, he's like gorgeous or whatever, but that's not the guy I'm most attracted to. And it's like, huh. Huh.
Dude, the girls love Berkey. Girls love Ryan Graves. Yeah.
Ryan Graves is very popular.
He's a killer. Yeah.
Tyson Jost is like the cute guy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy.
And then you have EJ's smile without his teeth in.
But yeah.
Bednar, definitely a silver fox for sure.
Somebody, I was recently asked who's the most unattractive Av, and Dubnyk was my answer because I couldn't come up with another one.
Yeah, EJ didn't really play this year, but I think it might be EJ.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's EJ? I don't think it's EJ. I think EJ is a really good-looking dude. He just
The flow's a little too greasy, I think, and then the teeth when he smiles are just hilarious. But
yeah, he's got the here and there teeth.
Yeah.
Some are here and some are there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's multiple gaps going on. But yeah, I don't know if I could come up with like. And even EJ, like, these are pro athletes. See? Right? Like,
personal fave is Jost. See, this theory was correct. This individual, who I don't think is a regular podcast listener, but if she listens to this, she was correct. It freaks me out.
Yeah, we do have to take our second period break here as we continue thinking about the least attractive Avs player, but. If you want your male model to look a little bit more like the male models of Colorado, head on over to manscaped.com. Get yourself 20% off with code DNVR20. Or, you know what? Father's Day is coming up. You need to get your dad a gift. He can take care of his package with Manscaped as well. Great deal. Great gift. Look, you can go beyond just the Lawnmower 4.0 and all of their exfoliation gels and all of that. You can get them stuff like breath mints and things, too. Look, all right? Even denim daddies need to take care of their package. Oh, yeah. It is what it is. Everyone's got to do it. So head on over to Manscaped, use code DNVR, get that 20% off and free shipping on their new Perfect Package 4.0. There is no alley today, chat. I have free reign to say whatever I want.
This is Rudo Unleashed.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, we got super producer Kale today. He won't stop me. Also brought to you, since, you know, we're talking about meat, Hassel Cattle Company. get 10% off with code DNVR10 at hasslecattlecompany.com. They have their amazing Wagyu, their beef burgers down at the DNVR bar. If you haven't tried one, get one. They're so delicious. But they have plenty of other meat as well, whether it be their bone-in ribeyes, their sirloins. They even have Wagyu beef jerky if that's your thing. You can order it, again, at hasslecattlecompany.com. If you order $200 or more, so you get a group order going, you get free shipping as well. They also have a buy three, get one free promo going on right now. So check them out today. Get yourself some damn good beef. And of course, DraftKings Sportsbook, the main sponsor of our podcast with the amazing odds boost every single day. When you, sign up with code DNVR, they are still running their turn $1 into $100 right here, right now. All you have to do is pick any basketball team still in the playoffs. Bet a dollar, and if that team wins their next game, you win $100 in site credit. So jump on it, get yourself $100 to play with the DraftKings, and then go YOLO bet on the Avs winning the Stanley Cup in 2022, because why not? You can win yourself a ton of money that way. Or maybe take Cale Makar to win the Norris. Who knows? Plenty of good hockey bets. There we go. That's the one. Hockey bets to take over at DraftKings Sportsbook. They have odds boosts every single day on all sorts of crazy sports as well. So highly recommend you check them out. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that DNVR promo code to let them know we sent you and get the chance to turn $1 into $100 in free credits when you bet on a basketball team to win their next game. The new customers only, wager paid out and site credits, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for gambling problems. Call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Gabe Landeskog coming back. I think one thing we forgot to mention, I'm assuming AJ, you are also operating under the concept of the Avs are going to lose roughly $3 million in the expansion draft?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think that's fair.
One of Comfort Donskoy, Ryan Graves likely to be the one taken.
They make the most sense as the guys that will go. Any other suggestions require a certain level of mental gymnastics right now.
Yep.
But that also is before we see the protection list.
Right.
So maybe we have to go off with the list that we think makes the most sense, which is what we do.
If it comes out that Nichushkin and Jost are exposed, then you cross that bridge when you get there. Yeah.
Yep. Then it's a different conversation. Boy, if they're both exposed, it's pretty funny because it's like, no, but they can only lose one. You're like, okay.
Could be worse.
yeah. Again, if it's not those three guys, you're doing mental gymnastics.
Which, down the line, we will have an expansion draft show again. Don't worry. So
we're going to do questions there. We promise to do another mock, another expansion mock.
Yep.
And then we will also get into Colorado specific stuff and other things. I guess we can talk about other teams too.
Yep, for sure. So we'll get to that when we get there. This one is about Landy, and should we talk a little bit more about what it looks like with him coming back, or are we ready to move into the apocalypse?
Yeah, let's talk about the apocalyptic scenario.
All right. So
there's already been I don't know how real any of this is, but, there are teams that want to prepare monster offers for him.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. The Los Angeles Kings are going to be major play in everything this offseason.
Yep.
So if Dougie Hamilton is going to be available, start in LA. Seth Jones is available, start in LA. If Jack Eichel is available, start in LA.
They're just going to move down the list until they get their guy.
they have the combination. They have the combination of cap space, opportunity, and young players, picks and prospects and stuff. All that they can do, anything they want, right? They totally get to make, they get to make all the big decisions. So it's not a huge surprise that teams would be like, Well, we sure hope Landeskog gets to free agency, because we would love to be able to offer him this mega deal.
And that's if he makes it to free agency in LA, yeah. Or someone says, here's $8.5 million and he wants the money, then that is what it is.
So this is tying into expansion. This is why you protect him. I know a lot of people tweet at me about, oh, the Avs could save a protection slot and not protect Landy, right? This is why you protect him, because Seattle gets an exclusive negotiation window with all UFAs who are left unprotected.
Yep. They can start talking about Landy. What is it? 5 days before free agency?
I believe it's when the expansion lists come out.
Oh, so that's like super early. Okay.
So they basically get a week jump, because that way they can talk to the UFAs, and if the UFAs have an interest in signing, they can take them and be like, okay, well, we took Gabe Landeskog from Colorado and now we signed him, whatever. So they Seattle gets to talk to him, and with no with no counteroffer, with nobody else that can play into it, only Seattle can look at Colorado's cap situation and say, we have no players. We can offer them $9 million.
Yep.
And Colorado has to draw the line in the sand and say,
I mean, there is no way Colorado can pay Gabe Landeskog $9 million.
They cannot. They have to draw a line somewhere. So yep. If we start to get into expansion draft week and Landeskog isn't signed, it's time to get nervous.
Yeah, it'll start to ramp up for sure.
Yeah, that's when you start to get nervous, because when he has a chance to go into the market and talk to teams, Colorado is going to be hamstrung by the decisions that they have to make.
The max that they can pay, yeah.
So they are only going to have so long before they have to really start to worry about it. If he wants to go into free agency, look, if Colorado makes him a good, fair, competitive offer,
I don't think there's any reason for him to, but
Landy is going to stay.
Yeah, I agree.
He wants to be here. He's made it clear that he wants to be here. He started his family here. His roots are here. He wants to do it with this organization. The team is really good. He's can compete. Captain. He's going to be in the here. Postseason. He's on his way to having his jersey retired with or without a Stanley Cup, to be honest with you.
There's every reason for him to stay.
Yeah. He's got there are lots and lots of reasons to stay. But if he gets into free agency, if he gets into free agency, suddenly $9 million per year for 7 years, and Colorado's like, we'll give you 6.5 over 8.
Yeah.
You know,
that extra $20 million adds up quick. Eric Johnson did sell his horse named Landeskog, I believe. So,
yeah.
Bad sign there, maybe.
Yeah. The bromance is over. So that's one. That's the number one reason that you do not leave him unprotected. It's because then another NHL club has freedom to roll in and start talking to him and be like, here's your money.
Yep.
And you don't want that. You just don't want, you're grinding towards negotiations. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to get to the right price point. You're really, and then all that work gets undone because Seattle comes in and goes, well,
I mean, this is an interesting thing here. As George says, Landy reminds me of Sakic, wants to stay here as long as he's treated fairly in contract talk. He will stay. People forget Joe Sakic signed.
Joe Sakic tried to leave.
Yeah, he signed a waiver sheet. What are they called? Offer sheet. Thank you. To go to New York. That the was it Quebec at the time, or was it in Colorado?
It was in Colorado.
Okay. Yeah. It they had to match. So anyway, the idea that everyone wants to stay no matter what just simply isn't true in the NHL. You have to at least give them a realistic offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their big thing, the Rangers poison pill, was they did a thing that you can't do in contracts anymore,
Yeah.
Was they loaded it up with all the cash at the front of it.
Yep.
And said, we have the money for this and you guys don't. And the only reason that the Avs got the cash to pay for it was because Air Force One was a huge hit. So that's one of the old Dater stories that I always loved, but he likes to tell a lot. It's a great story though, that they kept Joe Sakic because Air Force One was a surprise box office hit.
Sometimes lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a great example of why you don't want other teams talking to dudes.
Yep, exactly.
Talking to your players, because they go into that market. It's real hard to come to get them to come back. Like what Steven Stamkos did is the rarity, where yep. he rolled into the market and then was like, I'm good. I'll stay.
Yep. Very much not the norm necessarily.
Yeah. When a guy gets into UFA zone, he almost always leaves. So, yeah.
Anyway,
the Air Force One Joe Sakic story is well-worn territory. Just Google it.
Yeah, it's out there. Quickly, in a universe where Landy doesn't come back, we've talked about Sam Reinhart. I think
that's the first thing I do.
Yep, just go to Buffalo. You know they're looking mm-hmm. to sell. Here's the first Baron, whatever, at least figure out what they're looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that conversation. And then two, I saw someone ask it in chat a while ago, who gets the C if Landy's gone, AJ? Because I don't think it's McKinnon.
I give it to EJ.
Yeah. If he's healthy, that's probably the answer.
Even if he's not.
You give him the C in the locker room.
Ovi's not going anywhere, guys.
Ovi would go back to Russia before he left Washington. Yeah.
Blind yourselves if you think that guy's leaving the Caps.
Yep.
I don't know. We always said that about Chara with the Bruins, though.
Yeah, but Ovi has actively said he doesn't want to play. He would go back to Russia.
9.1 is in August?
Is that announced?
That's the thing that impacts both of our lives significantly.
Yeah, August is quite late.
That's problematic. anyway.
Different yeah. conversation for a different day there. In any case, yeah, I think.
No, not Mac, because he's not what you want as your captain.
Yeah,
he's great as with wearing an A. You want him part of your leadership group. You want him helping to set the tone, but
the perfect A candidate. He can lead by scoring a billion points on the ice.
Yeah, and do you guys, Mikko? No, he's just too much of a little brother.
He's also like people forget Mikko's only like 23.
Yeah, the way that McKinnon. Before I say this, I will preface this with,
yes,
I have absolutely no problem with how McKinnon conducted himself in the post-game presser after game 6.
Yep.
I have no problem with the fact that he was salty and that he was pissed and that he was short with the media. I have no issues with that, especially a local media that had been going at him.
For struggling game 2 or 5.
For the last week or so. But that also, the way that he conducted himself, is a good example of why you don't want him as your C.
Yep.
Because it was a little petulant. It was a little tantrumy. And again, he's going at guys who have been writing a lot of negative shit about him.
I mean, like, can I preface what you're saying with, not only do I not mind it, I wish there were more people in the NHL that showed a little bit more emotion in pressers and things, but that shouldn't be the guy that's your captain.
I think that's a great way to say it. I have no problem with the dude like bagging on media that he's frustrated with, but I don't want that guy as the C.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So
no, I'm not worried about McKinnon re-signing.
Yeah.
The Avs will
absolutely offer him, back up the dump truck for McKinnon. Yeah.
They will offer him the universe.
Yep. That one's an easy one.
So. Anyway, it would be EJ. It would be EJ.
I don't think there's really much more reason to continue this conversation because Landy's going to sign.
Yeah.
And
Sam Reinhart is the immediate pivot.
Yep.
Because the Avs can move enough salary, go get him, do whatever they have to do. They've got enough young guys at both forward and defense that they can survive the move, and they get a Landy style of player.
You drop him into essentially the exact same role in the lineup. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could do it anyway if they could free up the cap space. But
if they could find, I'm all about that, man.
You drop Sod and you end up finding a way to fit Reinhart in if you find a way to the money, but a different conversation for a different day, perhaps.
Yeah. So we're not talking Brandon Sod really in depth on the show. Nope. Show's about Landeskog.
We'll talk about Sod and Makar in future shows here, no doubt.
Grubauer.
And yeah. Grubauer too, yep.
Look, we've got to get through 5-6 weeks of off-season shows. We're going to focus them on deep dives on one subject.
Yep.
As much as we can, because we're both easily distracted.
I mean, well, this is it now. Every time y'all come into chat and want to know about Landeskog, we're linking you this show.
Yeah.
Just be like, here you go. Here's your Landy stuff.
We did this.
Yep. All right. So I think we're just about wrapped up here. Any final thoughts on Landy and his deal going into off season?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've got to say about it.
All right. So
Reinhart's my plan one, plan two, plan three.
Yeah. If you lose Landy, you move heaven and earth to go get him, basically.
Yeah. I'm not sure what a plan after that would be. Although I was thinking about post-Nazem Kadri plans this morning and thinking about Adam Henrique and
Henrique, huh?
And then I was like, they're gonna pay more for an older guy.
Yeah. I mean,
who signed longer.
So also, I'm good. Like, Kadri plans also depend a lot on what Alex Newhook looks like next year. But
yeah.
That's definitely a different podcast. We're gonna get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, hanging out today. We appreciate all of you. We'll be back tomorrow.
Do you want to give a final contract prediction?
Oh yeah, sure. You want to go first since you've been digging into all the numbers today?
Yeah, I'm gonna go seven. I'm gonna go 7 years at 7.25.
I am going to go 6 years at 6.8.
I really, 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 really want it to land at 6.9.
Yeah.
I want the nice contract so badly.
Well, it is Landy. So based on his last deal, it'll be like 6 point a bunch of random ass numbers.
Yeah. So the contract that he's on now is an AAV of 5571429. What was that, like his first phone number growing up? Like, what the hell did you get to that number? And like, it's an even number in the end because it's 39 million, but it was like
the way they spread it out.
Yeah. And you're like, how did you decide that's the number? What in the world?
So there it's, yeah. Is that the secret that Scott's onto here? The contract will be 6969 6969.
Yeah. Great. I'm good with it.
All right. There you go. You heard it here first. The nicest contract in the league. We are out of here. Thank you all again. Catch you guys tomorrow. Likely talking about more contract stuff.